Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is James Bonding.
Starring Matt Gourley.
And Matt Myra.
Are we starting?
I think we just did.
We did it. I thought we were doing a mic check, but we're just starting this podcast.
Why mic check when you can podcast for real?
Friends, have we got a treat for you today.
Came to it last minute, but I have to say, pretty thrilled about it.
I would say the most last minute of anything we've ever done.
Yeah.
But when Matt said the idea, I cackled in the corner like a Bond villain.
Yeah, and that's no exaggeration. It went on for an uncomfortable amount of time.
Well, it just tickled me because I just started thinking about all the things we're about to rank.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll say it. We are ranking
villain deaths.
The deaths of all the Bond villains and the escapes.
That's right. We're going to do a subcategory of the five escapes or slash survivals of villains.
The non-deaths.
According to the movie. So maybe what we should do is first go through the films, remind people of the deaths and or escapes, and then we'll start with the quick round of escapes and then get to the deaths.
That's exactly what I thought too, and that's exactly how I've made my list, Matt.
Wonderful.
So there's no guests today. Matt and I were like, well, should we take questions? Should we just rank something? And quite frankly, I've never been more delighted by a ranking in my life.
Yeah, I know. Why share this with guests when we can have it all to ourselves? I barely let Matt in the door once I thought of it.
That's true. He did try to send me out of the room. I don't know why. Probably lock me out.
So should we go chronologically through the films?
Yeah, so let's first talk about how each... This is always where we get...
Well, I think if
messy.
We go chronologically through the films, we can say who the villain is and why we think that. Because in a couple cases, there's a little confusion.
Okay.
And how they die or escape.
All right, so... Let's start with the film that started it all, 1962's Dr. No.
And it's a good one to start with because it's very clear who the villain is and how he dies.
His name's in the title.
Dr. No.
I think if your name is in the title of the movie, you automatically...
Yeah.
You're the villain.
Yeah,
there's no chance.
There's no movie called Stamper.
Yeah. I'd watch that.
I would too over Tomorrow Never Dies.
I gotta go. There's a very handsome German man in my office.
That's the first line.
Looking for Dr. Kaufman?
And that's Bond saying
that. Does he have it? We see his office.
Bond's office?
Yes, we see it once.
It's one of the early ones?
No. In The World Is Not Enough. No, I'm sorry.
I don't even remember.
In Die Another Day, when he's in the VR training thing and he's cleaning his gun.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's his virtual office, so who knows?
Who knows if that's his real office?
Well, we'll get to check it out next week.
It's like The Matrix, where it's the office you see yourself as having.
Yeah.
So Dr. No, pretty clear cut. It's Dr. No. Should we say how they die or just say the villain? Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
He sinks into a reactor.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. He's fighting with Bond and then falls into the reactor pit of radiated water, I presume.
His cancer is cured, but he dies from radiation. Now, from Russia with Love, we've, on this podcast before, declared Red Grant one of the greatest henchmen of all time. So going with that theme, Rosa Klebb is the villain.
Now, yeah, you could technically say Blofeld is pulling all the strings, but he's kind of a background figure in this.
And also, Bond and Blofeld never interact in the movie.
Right, right.
So I think that's a big key to whether or not Blofeld becomes the villain or not.
And ultimately, this is it her plan or Kronstein's? But Bond never reacts with Kronstein, right?
Right.
Or does? No, because Blofeld kills him.
Yeah.
Or actually, Klebb does.
Klebb is number two.
That's right. But she kills Kronstein by foot knifing him.
Well, who doesn't like a good foot knife?
I know, and that brings us to the end battle where she's trying to foot knife Bond, and in the book does.
You know, and they almost, you know, the Matt Monroe from Russia with Love theme song was almost replaced by Kenny Loggins' foot knife.
He was 3 years old, his first song. Foot knife.
Kick off your Sunday shoes, foot knife.
Yes.
Foot knife. So Rosa is shot by
Tatiana.
Okay. Goldfinger, again, villain, clear. Named after the villain.
Couldn't be clearer.
Sucked out of a plane.
That's right, a depressurizing airplane sucked through a small window. Yeah.
Thunderball, the most boring of movies. The villain Largo is shot with a harpoon by his mistress.
Domino.
You only live twice. There's an escape here.
He survives. He speeds away on a monorail.
He speeds away on an.
Do they show him like
on an improbable
in a pod?
Monorail?
We just watched this, and I somehow that's how unremarkable his survival is that I can't even place exactly.
You know what's interesting? Going through this, I found each survival to be nearly forgettable.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with them.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service, we, of course, Blofeld is in it. Bond interacts with Blofeld, so Blofeld is the villain. This rule applies to all movies except For Your Eyes Only. He survives. Is he dressed as a baby?
What? No. He has a neck brace on, and he's driving a car. But his survival is a little bit more of note because it also involves the death of Bond's wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Diamonds Are Forever. Sean Connery's back just in time to theoretically kill Blofeld.
This is one that we had to pull up because it's very unclear. He's caught in that little submarine and Bond is like swinging him around on a crane, banging up the oil rig.
Yeah.
And then Bond jettisons the oil rig along with everybody else to watch it blow up.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't blow up in one piece.
Right.
It just blows up kind of in little explosions throughout, so he's presumed dead.
Compartmentalized blowing up.
But we're putting him in the escape category.
Because he ends up in For Your Eyes Only.
Right.
So it becomes very clear.
You never see him die.
Yes. Now we go to Live and Let Die, which has perhaps a moment that you'd like to own on a t-shirt.
That's right. Go to podswag.com/bond and pick up a Kananga balloon, hashtag Kananga balloon t-shirt for the holidays. By the way, the posters will be available December 2nd.
December 2nd, guys, you can get the beautiful artwork.
By Kyle Steed.
Kyle Steed did an amazing, what looks like a painting. I've never looked better.
I also have a huge announcement, and I'm not even sure you're aware of this.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that you and I are now Bond canon?
Wait, what?
You don't know?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Our friend of the show, Ibrahim Mustafa, who did the amazing artwork on those series of prints for every film. He also did a great t-shirt that says Diversify Your Bonds with a picture of Idris Elba as Bond. Such an amazing, talented artist. Did the latest one-shot comic book of Bond, and he put you and I in the background of one of the panels.
Oh my
God. He just messaged me. I have yet to pick it up, but he sent me a picture. So we are now canon in the world of Bond. We're like Mr. Wint and Mr. Kid
this
of
is
boring background.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
this
I thought I'd
crazy.
Surprise you on air. So,
does he have the, can we buy that page?
Like the original?
Yeah.
I don't know, Abraham, can we?
Abraham, we'd like to purchase your page. I understand how much comic book artists' money's, you know, I get it. I own a couple of Batman pages. I know how much this stuff can go for.
And then what are we going to do, tear it in half?
We're going to do a high-res scan.
Maybe a print. Maybe
we're
going to
do a high-res scan, and then we'll do we'll go to Canvas. What's the sponsor of my podcast? Canvas something?
I don't know, but I just want to say thank you, regardless of this amazing favor. We are fans of yours.
What are you going to do with all? I have them all. So here's the thing I have before we get back into how these villains died and what movies they died, or how they died, rather, in which movies. I have all of those, right?
Yeah.
Up to the series that he had done to that point, which I feel like I have 16 or 17 of these.
Yeah.
I want to frame them all. They're sitting in my to-be-frame pile.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where I will
hang them.
Well,
I'm thinking of when we may turn our garage into an office that, like, I would love to line the top of the wall, like, along the top with those. They're so good.
They're amazing.
My favorite one, actually, is Diamonds Are Forever, the way he's standing on that elevator. If you've not seen these, just Google I'll find it.
The On Her Majesty's Secret Service one, which is the wedding car.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I mean, I was just looking at the Casino Royale one with the poker chips, and he's doing the parkour in the construction zone.
Yes. And the Quantum one where the car's doing donuts, but it's also a cue. Yeah. Go to The Art of Ibrahim Mustafa. That's spelled IbrahimMoustafa. You can just Google that and it will come up. That is so good.
This is the most exciting news, and that is what I'm thankful for. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah.
Man with the Golden Gun, shot by Bond.
Yeah.
Spy Who Loved Me, shot by Bond. Moonraker, poison dart ejected into space. For Your Eyes Only. I guess I should be saying who each... So the Man with the Golden Gun is Scaramanga.
Uh-huh.
Spy Who Loved Me is an industrialist and underwater dweller whose name I cannot remember right now.
Why can I not? Hold on, hold on. Stromberg.
Stromberg.
Carl Stromberg.
All right. Moonraker is... industrialist.
Hugo Drax.
Who wants to restart society. Hugo Drax. For Your Eyes Only.
Aristotle Christatos.
Now, killed by a knife being thrown, but by Milos.
Yes, by Columbo.
Yeah.
We should also mention that Blofeld is theoretically killed in this film, but that's just kind of a little side note, so we're not really going to count that.
Yeah, he's got a delicatessen. He does interact with Bond, but it's in the beginning of the movie, cold open. We can't count it as the villain of the movie. Octopussy. This one is another one we had to rewatch.
Yeah.
His plane crashes, but the cause of which is still unclear.
Bond puts his foot on the rudder to force it down, but immediately takes it off, and with plenty of time for, I think, him to pull up. Sure. But he tries to land. Bond and Octopussy jump off, and by that time it's too late. He overshoots the runway and then crashes into the side of a mountain.
Yeah. View to a Kill, he falls off the Golden Gate Bridge. It's
Max
Zorn. Living Daylights. Now, we got into a little bit of a confusion here. Brad Whitaker... Joe Don Baker, not the villain.
The reason being that this is ultimately Koskov's plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's sort of using Brad Whitaker in his plan, and I think it's... I mean, I don't think this one is 100% clear, but we're going with Koskov as the villain.
Yes. License to Kill. Robert Davi is set on fire.
Fran Sanchez is Robert Davi still with us. And boy, is he.
GoldenEye, Alec Trevelyan,
yeah,
dropped onto a satellite dish.
And then blown up. Then crushed.
Then impaled by the satellite dish antenna. Tomorrow Never Dies, killed with a remote-controlled drill.
Elliot Carver. A remote-controlled drill the size of a jet engine.
Yes. The World Is Not Enough. Now, here's the deal with this one. We've listed Reynard in our henchman category because ultimately it is Electric King pulling the strings.
I don't think we used him as a henchman in that episode.
Did we not?
We used Toothy whatever it is. Goldie. But ultimately, Electra is pulling all those strings.
Reynard, you know what? We'll add you in the ranking.
We'll say, I don't like these flying by the seat of your pants decisions. That throws a lot of this stuff out of whack.
Do you think being shot by plutonium rod is probably better than being...
It's definitely a better death than hers, but we have to go there. I think she's the ultimate villain.
All right, ultimate villain.
Okay.
Die Another Day, Colonel Moon.
Or Gustav Graves, depending on how you look at it.
Right, yeah. I look at it like the plot of the movie, where, as we'll see next week... Unfortunately, his parachute cord is pulled and he's shoved, sent into a jet engine. Casino Royale. Bond does not kill Le Chiffre. Mr. White does it for him with a bullet to the head. Quantum of Solace. Abandoned by James Bond and left to wander the desert.
And later found dead with two bullets in his head.
Yes.
And a we tummy assume, full of oil.
We assume Blofeld did that, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, that's right. I'd like to at least think that was Mr. White.
Skyfall, hunting knife to the back, with an amazing death performance by Benicio. Benicio del Toro, of course, is killed with a cocaine mixer.
Yeah.
And then we have Spectre, which is under the category of escaped, but he doesn't escape, he's arrested.
Right.
Survived is, I guess, the category we're going for. All right. So now that we've laid the groundworks of who's who, I suppose, Matt, it is time to rank our top five survivals.
Top fivals survival. We've got three Blofelds, four Blofelds.
Yep. Four Blofelds.
And a Russian general.
And a Koskov.
All right.
So the number five,
you want to go
on
ahead?
This for me?
Yeah.
I have the Living Daylights.
Koskov.
Koskov is number five.
All right. And again, using our patented ranking method, we won't talk about any of these until they have two votes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for me, why am I writing that down?
I don't know.
I got, I'm going Spectre.
You're going with Spectre.
Blofeld,
interesting.
Spectre.
Blofeld,
yeah.
Spectre.
I find it to be right.
He always breaks his own rule.
I know. You know why? I can't think that far behind.
Number 25. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're in for it.
We're so.
It's like a Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving coma. And
we're having a great time. Yeah. Though. Number four, Diamonds Are Forever for me.
Okay. For me.
Yep.
It's Koskov.
It's Koskov. We're talking about the Living Daylights, everybody. Koskov, in what we've discussed before, feels like the first of two endings to the movie. He's arrested on a Afghanistan Soviet base, right? Oh, no, yes. He gets off the base and then ends up at Brad Whitaker's?
We talked about this. It seems like he was intended to die there with that explosion in the Jeep.
But then he comes back and is arrested.
So why do you think they did that? Why not kill him again or have not killed him the first time? Were they kind of going for more of a realistic espionage John le Carré thing where it's like not everybody has to die in a Bond film?
Maybe, but also I feel like they were just aching to get back to Joe Don Baker.
But then why bring him back after Joe Don Baker's death? They literally shove him in the room and then shove him out.
Maybe they didn't want to kill him because they enjoyed the character and thought maybe, well, they'll use the character again.
See, I don't know, because it's like they did that. The only other survivals here are Blofeld, and that was clearly because they wanted to continue the character. I would have a hard time believing they really wanted to do that with Koskov.
I think he was a good character.
Yeah, I do too, but he doesn't have... I don't know. He doesn't quite have the gravitas that a Blofeld does.
But he's arrested by Russian forces. He's arrested by John Rhys-Davies.
Right.
Who I love and we'll talk more about in our next episode of Indiana Jonesing.
He's presumed dead, though, because they say they're going to take him home in a diplomatic bag, which means a body bag.
Or that diplomatic bag is a great sleeping bag for diplomats.
Okay.
You never know.
Yeah.
But it's ranked so low for me because it's just meh.
Yeah, it just takes the steam out of an otherwise pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is our number five. That is our number five for whatchamacallits. Escapes. Okay, so number three for me is Spectre.
Okay, that puts it at number four here for the totals.
So let's talk about Spectre. I ranked it so high, which is the middle, because of Christoph Waltz finally getting that great Blofeld scar. I like an origin story.
Okay.
So I like seeing where that scar came from. I really liken it to the moment in The Last Crusade where River Phoenix can't use a whip yet. And that's how
I think this one could have been exchanged with Living Daylights for me. There is something I like to Blofeld going like, do it, kill me.
Yeah.
That I liked. This is not something you've ever seen from Blofeld before. Like, kind of like, I'm tortured. Give me some death. But I don't feel like they knew where they were going after this. And now knowing that he's probably not going to be back, it feels real lame to continue him on in an impotent way like this.
Do you think he'll return as the main villain of the next movie?
Well, he's already said he's not going to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the character.
Oh.
Do you think Blofeld will return as the main villain of the next movie? Or will they take a Blofeld sabbatical?
I wonder. It's so weird. Like, it's the Craig films have always just been out of phase by one film, it seems like. If they would have done one less or added one more, it would have been better, you know? Because now it seems like they're either going to have to replace Blofeld with another actor or deny him completely and then abandon this whole awkward timeline they've gotten into. And it just doesn't seem well thought out. That's the one thing I'll hand to those Marvel guys, is they feel like they got it, their chess game figured out 20 years in advance.
They're better at getting contracts.
Yeah.
For people to be in multiple movies.
Yeah.
Which I feel like Eon has not been great at.
Who would you like to see play Blofeld if they did?
If they replace him? I mean, it's so... I'm so meh on the character of Blofeld as it is.
I'd like to see them do something more interesting with that character.
I mean, I loved Green. Dominic Green, I thought, was such a good...
He would be a great Blofeld.
Oh, he'd be a great Blofeld.
He has those, like, Swiss brown eyes.
Yeah. And if you're going to continue, I liked where they were going with Quantum.
I did, too. Like, that was like, Spectre.
Oh, you're finally out of your... Yeah. You're finally figured it out. You're out of the shadow of Spectre. You can now move on. Quantum seems like a quantum leap forward.
I see.
In extortion.
Mm-hmm.
Terrorism.
Revenge.
And extortion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Spectre. Okay. It happens over the Thames. It's a great locale.
Yeah.
That's a positive thing I'll say about it.
But this, he shoots down a helicopter with a pistol.
If there's one person on the planet who I have no problem shooting a helicopter down with a pistol, it's James
Annie
Bond.
Oakley. Oh, sorry. Oh. Okay.
Annie Oakley, I have no problem with her shooting a helicopter down with a pistol over her shoulder with a mirror.
With a little pocket mirror. All right, number three for me, Diamonds Are Forever. Now, actually, the way I'm looking at that, Spectre's probably better than that, but oh well. It's just really, like, non-conclusive or inconclusive.
Well, you get the fun of James Bond operating heavy machinery.
That's true. That's real fun.
You get the fun of what I would call the most perfect dive James Bond has performed besides the World Is Not Enough dive. I mean, we're going to rank...
What dive is that?
We're going to rank the James Bond dives.
Oh,
it's when he takes off his jacket, tucks his pistol into his belt, and then dives next to a submarine.
Oh, that's right.
Without much clearance.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's right. You do get to see Blofeld sweat in the cabin of that little submarine where he's kind of freaking out a little bit.
If we ever were to rank the suits of James Bond, I have to say, that World Is Not Enough suit.
The
beige one with the blue shirt would be very highly ranked.
It's a good one.
Very highly ranked.
It's kind of linen-y, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I went on a quest for a linen suit.
Really?
I never found one, and it's probably a good thing.
I have a white linen suit that I never wear.
We should do a linen suit. On our second live James Bonding,
what's the status of your Goldfinger suit?
He says it's done. I have no idea how to get it from him. I'll DM him.
Yeah. So this will be a mystery as to whether we show up to this live show. By the way, we're doing a live show on the 7th at UCB. Is it Sunset or
I have no
Franklin?
Idea.
I don't know. It's one of the UCBs. We're doing
Is it called James Bonding Live or is it called Stitcher Premium Theater?
I don't know. More info coming. Watch our social media. We're the worst hosts.
Yes, I agree. So number two for me, You Only Live Twice.
Same here. Let's talk.
All right. So here's why it's ranked so high. The tiny monorail.
Tiny, shaky, little wobbly monorail.
The tiny, shaky.
Classic Blofeld.
You know, I just watched an American Masters Walt Disney episode.
Oh.
It was a two-parter. And really just came away with a whole new appreciation for monorail systems. And I think that sort of influenced my pick here.
I've said I want to put a monorail around this backyard. Look at that. Imagine that.
Oh, I would love it.
Just a rickety little monorail. Little egg-shaped monorail. Where like
you, if you get on... I don't understand how it's constantly moving until you hit the brake. It's a bizarre monorail.
I don't think so. I don't know.
But yeah, he gets away. Pleasance is great. So, I mean, that influences it a little bit.
Is this the only one that he escapes with his cat?
That we see, yeah.
I think so.
Does he have his cat in For Your Eyes Only?
I think he does, doesn't he? On his wheelchair? Bond
kills the cat,
no,
too.
He doesn't go on the ride with him. I don't know. That poor cat.
Yeah, it's Donald Pleasance. He does a really good, like... I mean, even his posture is very... I'm a villain.
Yeah. I mean, he's not only the classic Blofeld, I'd call him the consummate Blofeld.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the other ones are kind of outliers. Telly Savalas is a little thuggish. Charles Gray is a little too...
English?
Yeah, he's just a dandy. I don't know. Not that that's like a problem. They're all good Blofelds, but when you think of the classic Blofeld, I still think it's Donald Pleasance.
Yeah. I also think that part of the ranking here is just the fact that Blofeld's escape in this movie is the only one that I would feel confident in laying over the sound effect of a child going, "Wee!"
Yeah, I think that's enough to bump it a point.
Wee! all right, so that brings us to our number one escape on Her Majesty's Secret Service for me. And I believe it is for you as well, Matt.
Because it's an escape, number one with a bullet. Actually, bullets, plural.
Yeah.
Because on that escape... Well, first of all, his escape actually is getting caught on a tree branch in a bobsled chase.
Yes.
That's a lucky escape.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't even mean to escape. In fact, he comes back for more. It's hardly an escape. It's really just a delay. And then he...
You know, I think had James Bond been in an Aston Martin that was issued by Q Branch,
yeah,
wouldn't be a problem.
That's right.
Bulletproof
side
windows.
Right.
Side lasers, of course. Bulletproof windows.
Yes. Did she have the window open? I forget. That may be the problem.
Oh, maybe that was the problem. Maybe it was from Q Branch.
Mm.
Oh, man. But yeah, so it does... It's an escape that shapes the character of James Bond for years to come.
That's right. It really does. And therefore, it's the most significant escape/survival of a James Bond villain in our top five escape/survivals. Which brings us then to 19 villain deaths.
There are 19 ways villains die, and there are 19 ways to cry. That just rhymed. That made no sense. But
it's
I'm
funny how
about this.
The thing I like about a list like this is it does not necessarily correlate to how much I like the films, because you can get some great villain deaths and some pretty bad Bond films, and vice versa.
That is absolutely very true. They do start to bunch up a little bit. Yeah, no, actually, I gotta say, it does not really correlate at all.
A couple of mine do, but
so
yeah.
Let's talk about number 19, Matt. What is your 19th villain death? Your lowest ranked villain death.
This is one that has always bothered me.
Yes,
because it doesn't seem befitting of the film. And it's Goldfinger. I find it to be too silly and campy, but not suitable to the silly and silliness of the movie.
Okay, you're doing that thing again.
Oh,
that you
shit.
Love to
Sorry.
Do,
Sorry.
Which is talking about
oh,
things
God. Oh, God.
Before their time.
You need to cut me off sooner. Don't be so polite. Sorry.
Okay, so number 19.
Now you know all my thoughts.
Well, those are some of your thoughts. Number 19 for me is Octopussy.
Okay. Well... We can
so number 18 for you, Matt, would
is
be what?
Octopussy.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so...
It's a talking round. Yeah. So early.
Okay. Do you think that we were persuaded by rewatching this? Because I think I remembered it better in my head than it was.
No, I didn't remember it at all in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered the henchman battle.
Yeah.
The smack in the face.
With the antenna.
The plane antenna. Tune in some time, we'll have a ranking of henchman deaths, which...
Yeah.
I got to tell you, is going to be even better than this.
I think so.
But for me, it's ranked so lowly because it was so forgettable and somehow more implausible than almost any other death.
It seems like it could have been easily avoided. Also, I like Louis Jourdan in this film, but his performance on this is not among the best deaths because it's clear.
Given?
Well, I think he's given a director going, you see us rocks, you see some rocks, and he's just leaning forward with this really strange look on his face, and it's just a little silly.
Maybe he's mad because he's probably like, can't I just pull the stick back?
Yeah.
And they're like, no. He's you see, he's put it down with his feet.
Yeah.
But he's not on the tail anymore.
He's one of those interesting villain deaths that it's like, he's one of the intellectual villains Bond has to face, and there are some that are a little bit more physical, and
yeah.
So I don't know, the death is somehow, it's more unremarkable than I remember.
Hmm. Matt?
All right.
That is an astute observation. It is unremarkable, and that's why it's so low.
Yeah.
So number 18 for me, you had Octopussy. My number 18 is For Your Eyes Only.
Okay. My number 17 mm-hmm. is Die Another Day.
Interesting. My 17 is From Russia with Love.
Ooh, interesting. My number 16, it's time to talk For Your Eyes Only.
For your eyes only.
Now, this is in its own special category where Bond doesn't kill the villain.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a handful of these.
That is precisely my problem with this death. I think that if Bond's not doing the killing, it better be a little more spectacular than a knife throwing.
Now, I give this one some props in that category because I love the character of Columbo. And I love that he throws the knife and then immediately collapses. But Christatos is such an unremarkable villain. It just feels like, all right, yeah, okay, for me.
He is unremarkable, but, you know, he's really doing anything he can to find the Holy Grail.
No, I think you're confusing.
Wait, I'm sorry.
What you mean is to find the generator on Hoth.
No. Yes, that is it. Yeah. That's exactly. He's trying to find the generator on Hoth, which is at the top of a pretty remarkable religious structure that is built into rock somehow.
No, I think he's wearing a chain necklace at King's Landing. The other thing is, I'm not a big fan of throwing knives for deaths, as you'll find soon enough.
But yeah,
it's just a little convenient, and I'm still not very convinced that would kill someone right away.
I get what you're saying.
If it's even like possible to do every time.
I understand what you're saying.
I would love to see a movie where someone throws a knife at someone and it hits handle first and just bounces off them. Because that's just as likely to happen.
No, I mean, if you're practiced with throwing knives, I think that it is not that likely to happen. One of my favorite activities at the medieval fair every year is throwing those very dull knives.
But it's just not as 100% as everybody makes it because the distance matters. And I just don't think it's quite what the movie makes it.
I mean, it's probably like... These people probably have like great sets of throwing knives, like the Mont Blancs of throwing knives.
I'm sure. But it's equivalent to the karate chop to the back of the neck to knock someone out. It's possible, but I don't think it's universal.
Has that ever happened in real life?
I just watched the BBC Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yeah.
And a man kills another man that way. Doesn't just knock him out.
Oh.
He just kills him. He falls to the ground and he convulses and dies. I won't say who because it's quite a spoiler.
Was it a tailor? Yeah, but again, Bond doesn't kill them. It's a throwing knife. It's fairly unremarkable. So that's why it is our 18th ranked.
That's right.
Death.
So what's 16 for you, man?
16 for me. Surprising ranking, because I enjoy the movie a lot. It's The Spy Who Loved Me.
Okay. So 15 for me.
Mm-hmm.
No big surprise. Maybe higher than you would expect for some of you. Live and Let Die.
Wow. That is very surprising.
I'll have my reasons, but I'm not going to talk about it till it's time to talk.
Okay, so number 15 for me, Thunderball. This is interesting. A lot of silence on Matt's end here.
Yeah.
So, right. Matt, what is your 15? I'm sorry, your 14.
My 14 is Skyfall.
Okay, I'm going to put a mark next to Skyfall, just so I know it's been selected by someone who's wrong. Number 14 for me is The World Is Not Enough.
Okay.
This is an interesting spread we're having here. I know,
this one is really, really varied. Number 13 for me, Casino Royale.
Number 13 for me, Die Another Day.
All right, let's talk Die Another Day.
All right. Sigmund Freud.
Analyze this.
What's your favorite Robert De Niro movie?
Analyze that.
Oh, not Analyze This? You like the sequel more?
Once Upon a Time in America.
Okay. I mean, it is of its time.
It's a good death. Like, it's a meaty good death.
It is an early aughts action death.
It's one of those overkill deaths. Like, it would have been enough to probably just launch him out, and he could have, I guess he wouldn't have been killed by the parachute, but still.
You know what we should also figure out is who is the most dead? Like, you know, when Han Solo goes, spoiler alert for those who haven't seen The Force Awakens.
Right.
When Han Solo goes, it's funny to me. I mean, not funny in the moment. I love Han Solo, but gets a lightsaber through the abdomen, then falls into an endless pit, and then is blown up.
That's right.
So he's the most dead of the Star Wars people.
That's a good question. I mean,
it's got to really be Kananga.
I was just thinking that it's got to be someone that's atomized, either that or Hugo Drax or possibly Elliot Carver.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That is very true. But Diner of the Day, forgettable. Maybe this will change next week when we watch it.
Yeah.
But, you know, parachute through a jet engine.
Oh, is he the most dead? He might be the most dead.
He's pretty dead. He is pretty dead.
I would say that a shark bullet is probably going to leave some chunks where a jet engine is going to, like, just atomize you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into a mist.
Yeah.
Maybe the holiday fragrance.
Rupert Graves for men.
It's shaped like his diamond, you know, with a GG on it.
It's red. I guess it's very fitting of the movie, I guess. It's not crazy silly, but it's a little over the top.
Frost's death more.
Yeah. Although that
knife fight,
the art of war, book.
It is a little ridiculous. Do I like it more than parachute?
I don't know. One thing about that, I always feel when watching that movie is I'm just so ready for them to be killed. Like, let's get to this. That movie does have I just want it to be over by the time I get there. I enjoy other parts.
That movie also for me has the most product placement, the most glaring product placement of any of the movies.
Yeah.
Which some may find hard to believe with Heineken and all.
Penguin Books, Art of War.
Okay, so that is Die Another Day.
Yeah. What number was that for you?
That was number 13 for me.
Okay, so my number 12 is Dr. No.
Oh, so we're not talking about Dr. No. Okay, number 12 for me, we are talking. It's Casino Royale.
Okay.
Not killed by Bond.
Right.
It's another one in the category of not killed by James Bond, but I'm. It's a satisfying ending.
Yeah, I'm probably already to the category of deaths that I like, because I like Casino Royale's death. I like he's dispatched in a way. If you're not going to be killed by Bond, this is an interesting way to do it when you don't expect it and it comes 2/3 of the way through the movie.
Yeah.
I knew it from the book, but still, I was half expecting them in the movie to change it, you know?
Oh, well, that's always, you're always expecting that.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think that it's really, it's almost like the most like, oh God, how's Bond going to get out of this moments? In the Eon films. And it's also the Most surprising.
That's the thing, is that even though Bond doesn't kill him, it comes on the heels of maybe one of the best scenes in Bond history, where you want this guy to get his comeuppance so much after what he just does to Bond. That the fact that you actually get it right then and there goes a long way.
And
I'd probably put this one higher if I had to decide.
And I really love the character of White.
I do too, and I love the character Lashif too.
Mr. White, I think, is great.
Yeah.
Does he... When we get to Spectre, and we have Spectre's Mr. White, does he shift to Bond ally?
That's a tough one. I guess. I mean, he's a reluctant ally, but is there anybody else in that kind of category?
Jaws.
Yeah.
Henchman shift to ally.
But that's a tough one.
Yeah. My question is... Is Mr. White so popular that they decided to make him good?
I don't know, but there was all those stories about him shit-talking the Bond franchise, so they must have brought him back just purely out of a story necessity, because I don't think they were happy with him.
Really?
Yeah, he had some interview where he was talking poorly about the production. I think he just didn't like making blockbusters. And they also shot...
I bet he didn't like making Quantum of Solace, because the movie wasn't finished.
Right, but they also shot a scene for the end of that movie involving him that has never been released, and nobody knows if he was killed or what happens.
Oh, Phil, if you're out there, get on that.
I know.
Dig that scoop up, Phil.
Sleuth.
Stop ranking Brosnan movies so low on your Thrillist list, Phil.
No, you're fine with that.
Phil?
I mean, that shows that you're doing good work.
Oh, Phil.
Continue in that vein.
Don't care for that.
Okay.
So that was number 16 for our total combined list.
Yeah.
Which brings us to number 11 on my list.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Skyfall.
All right. Now, I'll say...
Matt, why'd it rank so low for you?
Well, the reasons I like it is Javier Bardem's reaction to being stabbed. This has always been a tricky scene for me. There's something that, like, I can buy the knife throwing a little bit more in For Your Eyes Only, but in this one...
You don't buy it in this one?
It just seems like too much for... And I think this is just me, but it just seems like too much of an action movie trope and not enough of a death for him. And I don't want some big, like, Gustav Graves death for him. It just happens too quickly, too glibly. There's a couple of little quips thrown out during it before and after, and I just...
But they're both, if they're cut from the same cloth, you know, if they're both double O's and they've both been spying around for such a long time, the glibness of it works for me.
Really? Now, let me run something by you.
Please.
You've got this scene where he's got Judi Dench and he's put the gun up to her head and he's got his head next to her. This is as tense as a James Bond movie ever gets.
Okay.
What if instead of throwing the knife, Bond creeps up behind him, grabs him, stabs him by hand, and holds him and pulls him away from M. And, like, just, they have to, like, they're face to face, and there's no quips.
I think you cannot be sure that him knifing Bardem in the back is not going to have some nerve reaction where he pulls the trigger.
Well, he does knife him in the back.
Oh, that's right.
But imagine they're face to face, and he's behind him, like, giving him a Nelson, and he's got a knife in his kidney.
Well, here's why it works for me.
Yeah.
Albert Finney.
Doing nothing, just standing.
No, Albert Finney putting the hunting knife on the table and saying, sometimes the old ways are the best ways.
Yeah, but that's like, clearly they wrote that in after the knife throwing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I liked it. I like that line. And I like that the movie, like, so harkens back to a simpler time, that the most simple way to kill somebody is a throwing knife.
Yeah, I like that he's killed with a knife. It's just something about the throwing. And I love Bardem's reaction. It just all goes really quickly.
Too quickly. You'd like it to be a minute and a half longer, you think?
Well, that's the other thing, is I don't think you're going to die that quickly with a knife in the back. Like, he had to hit his heart, basically.
Maybe he did.
Maybe.
Maybe, but severed his spine.
The other thing is, I don't think a knife goes through a rib cage that easily.
I think we need to call the Mythbusters.
I think also it's time for an ad break and a YPPK. A PPKY
PPK.
Moment.
Man, James Bonding Podcast.
Would you like a poster of James Bonding with the very signatures of this guy talking?
Or the signatures of this guy responding to the guy that was just talking?
How about t-shirts reflecting our own views on the most ridiculous moment in James Bond? For me, hashtag Kananga Balloon.
For me, the correct answer, hashtag Pigeon Double Take.
Well, whatever your preference, go to podswag.com/bond and you could pick up one of those three items and have it in time for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Fufu, Bobby-Bibidoo. What?
Listen, we all know... Pigeons cannot react to a boat that's on land. It's just not going to happen.
That humans can't blow up when they're shot with a shark bullet because, B, shark bullets don't even exist.
Then you don't know what they would do, Matt. That's all I've been trying to get across to you. It's maybe very plausible that a shark bullet would make you inflate and float to the sky and then blow up.
But it's certainly physically possible that a pigeon can look to the same side three times in a row.
Not by reversing the film three times, but what is what they did.
But what we can agree on is a delicious and beautiful poster of us sitting in M's office... with Moneypenny outside and all sorts of little podcast inside jokes throughout. Beautiful artwork by Kyle Steed. Check it out on podswag.com/bond.
Tell him the pigeon sent you.
Hashtag Kananga Balloon.
Man.
All right, we're back. We discussed Skyfall.
Now, Matt.
What number was that for you?
It was interesting. That was number 11 for me. I have to say, there are more knife...
Wait, that can't... I haven't said 11 yet.
Then you say you're 11 now.
Am I after you?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Were you going
to
say something?
We said my 11, and then we had to talk. And then we have to say you're 11.
Okay, sorry. Were you going to say something
What I was
going to
say is there are more knife deaths in James Bond than I remember.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, number 11 for me is Tomorrow Never Dies.
That's weird that it would be ranked so low.
I'm actually surprised it's this high.
So number 11 for me was Skyfall. So number 10 is Dr. No.
Oh, it's time to talk about Dr. No then.
Listen. What I like in a villain death, Matt.
Yeah.
As we're getting down towards the nitty gritty.
Right.
Is... being hoisted by one's own petard.
Mm, yeah.
I really enjoy when a villain dies at essentially his own doing.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about it that way. This is also the first villain death. It's not the most spectacular, but it's pretty good out of the gate.
Yeah.
It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know exactly what's going on. That's like coolant water. You figure it's highly radioactive, so he's just going to kind of...
It's
melt.
Bubbling, correct?
Yeah, so yeah. Is it super hot as well?
I don't know, but I do know that if he hadn't built his own nuclear reactor, none of this would be happening.
That's true.
He really did this to himself.
That's true. How many of them are hoisted by their own petards?
Well, certainly Tomorrow Never Dies, as you just mentioned. But honestly, not as many as you'd think.
But not that directly. There are some like Moonraker where he's killed in his own space station.
Yeah, but like for Goldfinger, for this to be a thing of for Gold, like if we were to say how Goldfinger dies, it's not, he didn't get crushed by gold. You know?
Yeah, but
had he been
Dr. No was
gold?
Not killed by the word no. By a negative response.
You're just going by names now. You're not going by what the actual villain's plan is.
I wish that were the case.
But he
just can't take any negative criticism.
Listen, it's hand-to-hand combat in fun radioactive suits.
Yeah.
And it ends with him drowning in a reactor.
I love any fight that takes place over something perilous, like a chasm,
sure.
Lava,
yeah.
Quicksand, something like that. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of an instance of a fight taking place over quicksand.
Well, in my mind, it's certainly okay. Many, many.
But yeah, so Dr. No... we salute you. You went out like a gangster.
Okay. That was number what for you?
That was number 10 for me.
Okay, number 10 for me is The Man with the Golden Gun.
Ah, okay. The Man with the Golden Gun is number 10 for you. For me, number 9 is GoldenEye.
that low.
Low? I don't know if that's low. It's okay. It's pretty high.
Number nine for me, The Spy Who Loved Me.
Oh.
We're talking.
It's a time to talk.
I think this is a good one. I mean, it's kind of gruesome, even though it's just a gunshot. It's a few gunshots, right? Like, it's he's shot like four, yeah.
And it's James Bond doing his dirty work himself.
And he also puts it in that tube that shoots that exploding spear that he evades. Yeah.
If that tube wasn't there.
You know what's good about it? Is that Stromberg has already shot his wad. Like, yes. Bond let him do his thing, and he has no defense. Mm-hmm. Bond could just take him in.
Yeah.
And he still kills him, which is kind of odd for a Roger Moore film.
But also, is he hoisted?
By his own petards? By building a dining room table?
By building
with
a dining room table with a single
single
pipe.
Shot. Yeah, maybe. How does Bond know that? Is there? He's just magic. Because the other guy, it happens. Who does it happen to previous? It happens to someone, doesn't it?
Number 12.
Maybe I'm not. Maybe I got that wrong. I forget.
Well, we see it go. We see it work.
I thought so too.
We're well aware of its established power.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen this one.
Hit a chair.
This is probably the most popular Bond that I've seen the least.
Yes. Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. I feel like Thunderball's very popular.
It is. I think we're in the minority on that.
I gotta tell you, the fact that Phil didn't rank it lowest.
Check out
Thrillist list.
Our man in the East's Thrillist list, Phil Nobile Jr.
Ranks every
I think
James
it's a pretty
Bond
solid list. I think
poorly.
It's pretty, no, I disagree. Mean,
you know, his bottom three really are upsetting.
Because he's a journalist reporting the truth?
Because he's reporting, and I hate to say this phrase, but I believe it more now than ever, fake news.
No way, man. You're Elliot. You're Elliot Carver.
Yeah, so Spy Who Loved Me. Four gunshots.
Okay, just it's worth mentioning we're about to go to number eight, right?
We are about to go to number eight, yes.
So the only films that have yet to be mentioned are Moonraker, Quantum of Solace, License to Kill, and A View to a Kill. Everything else
you
has been mentioned.
You mentioned Live and Let Die ranked at number... What was your number on Live and Let Die?
15 out of 19.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, it's a... These are all good deaths.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will mention there that A View to a Kill, Quantum of Solace, Moonraker, typically at the bottom of most people's lists for Bond movies.
Totally.
Interesting.
It is very
License to Kill, usually not that high. In fact, all four of these that have not been mentioned definitely rank in the bottom half of most people's lists.
Agreed.
Maybe you and I hold a lot of stock in a good villain death because... We like all four of these movies, I think,
yeah,
generally.
We do. Yeah, we do. We really do. And, you know, I think we support villain deaths.
Yes, we do. Certainly do.
So please,
from on record way back.
Please donate to our charity, villaindeaths.org. That's probably not a thing. It will be by the time this airs. So, Matt, we just talked about The Spy Who Loved Me.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Goldeneye.
Yeah.
So that brings us to number eight for me, which is The Man... With the golden gun.
Okay, that's it.
Now, he's got a powerful weapon.
Yeah.
He charges a million a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, what I like about this death is that it's the only way this movie could end. It's the culmination of their duel.
If ever a villain is going to be shot and shot by Bond in kind of an unspectacular manner, this merits it, I think.
Yeah, but I also... Scaramanga's funhouse shooting gallery / most dangerous game maze is one of my favorite things in Bond movies.
Really? I feel like it could have been done better. I like the idea of it. It just looks crappy and doesn't really deliver.
Do you know what it looks like to me, though?
Hmm.
A 70s era dark ride.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that because of that and because of when this movie was made, I say... Well done, gentlemen.
Is there any feeling for you? Because I feel like, yes, this is the way it had to be.
Mm-hmm.
but also that leaves it a little less exciting because there's no twist. There's no real excitement at the end. It's just closure, but not in a kind of exciting, thrilling way.
Hmm.
It leaves me a little cold.
But I don't know what more you could want for closure. I know that, I mean, the ultimate, I guess, I don't like the solar weapon.
The Solex Agitator?
The Solex Agitator, for me, feels like it didn't need to be there.
What if Knick-Knack pulled a domino, give the dog a bone, and shot Scaramanga because he's sick of being exploited by him?
No.
I don't know. That sounds like an interesting...
I don't think Knick-Knack would do that.
I would like to see that.
Do you think Knick-Knack's alive still in that cage? I know Harvey is not.
Monsieur Scaramanga!
Oh, God, that's such a... that's that movie is a hoot.
Yeah.
I hope you all look forward to our next shirt, which is a Knick-Knack Tabasco shirt.
You always say these things, and we've never had any discussion about this.
Would you wear a Knick-Knack Tabasco shirt?
Yeah, if it Who also wouldn't? Said give the dog a bone.
Should it say Knick-Knack on the front and Tabasco with an exclamation point on the back?
I don't know. You know what would be awesome is if it's a picture of Hervé Villages with the tray.
Yeah.
And it's got Tabasco on it, but yeah. On the back, it's the back of him. The same thing, back of him.
Boy, if only we knew some very talented artists.
Yeah, I can think of two already.
Knick-Knack Tabasco shirt. If you'd like one, hashtag Knick-Knack Tabasco.
So what's the amount of hashtags you have to get for this to happen?
Oh, if we get 50 Knick-Knack Tabasco shirt, 50 hashtag Knick-Knack Tabasco. Tag at Matt Myra, MattMira, and Matt Gourley, MattGourley. If we get 50 of those, we will get this shirt made.
Okay,
if
fair
you
enough.
Want a hashtag Knick-Knack Tabasco shirt.
I'll just say also, I'm on a social media break for Christmas, so I'm
going to have to count on myself. I'm Matt's going to take my word for it.
I'll check in on my desktop maybe once every day or two, but I took those apps off my phone, and it has felt so good.
How has your social media break gone?
It's only
great.
Been 2 days, but it's been wonderful.
You're off of the grams as well?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Wow.
I just took the apps off my phone.
Yeah.
And I pick up my phone... and I'm like, I'm supposed to do something with this. And there's nothing to do. And I put it down and I live my life.
I like this.
Okay.
I think I'm going to do that my week off when I'm off in Palm Springs over Christmas.
You should.
I'm going to check the fuck out.
The world is stressing me out.
As it should.
Yeah. The world is enough, it turns out.
It is. So if there's any Bond 25 news, I will have to convey it to Matt over text.
Yeah.
So... Man with the Golden Gun, great times, very simple death.
That's right.
The next movie we're going to talk about.
Wait.
Oh, you have to give your number 8.
Number 8 for me, and we're going to talk about it from Russia with Love.
Well, we're back to simple deaths here.
Yeah.
Now, From Russia with Love is ranked 17th for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, suffers from the Bond doesn't do it.
Right.
Aspect of things.
It's a proto-domino kill. It comes before it, but I don't think it does it as well. We'll talk about that in a minute.
It is a proto-domino. But in many ways, there is more... Well, I don't know if there's more, but there is an emotional resonance with this death.
Because you still don't Tatiana. Fully know how much Tatiana is on board until this moment.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. For those who are wondering, maybe haven't watched From Russia with Love in a while, Tatiana shoots Rosa Klebb.
Yeah.
In the chest.
Right.
Best way to...
Rosa Klebb's death is pretty good, though. She has one of those kind of slow...
Yeah.
Doesn't she just kind of inch back down the wall or something
like slow
that?
Act 'em out death? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best villain death.
Western
really.
Death.
Yeah. Eyes open.
Yeah.
Just... gazing at the final frontier.
I'm looking forward to watching that movie again.
Yeah, we gotta. I was just thinking about the fact that it literally, the way we've structured it this time around, it's crazy to me that we're not going to be done with these movies. It's going to take a year to get through them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know.
I can't believe we found something to do in between every episode.
Yeah, and some of these have been some of my favorites. So
I think more fun. If you think more fun, tweet us.
Go ahead.
Hashtag Tabasco, knickknack Tabasco. Okay, so number nine, number
seven
for me is my favorite death so far, obviously, Tomorrow Never Dies, which we are talking about.
Okay.
Because you ranked it very, not nearly as high as me, but much higher than I thought you did.
Well,
thought you would.
The reason why is because I'm so pleased when he gets killed in this movie, because it means the movie's over. It means this character's over. It's as grandiose a death. I think the death is befitting of the character.
So you're really taking a lot of your emotions.
Yeah.
And placing them in this.
I think so.
Well, man, I gotta tell you, there's a couple things I really enjoy about this death.
Okay.
Number one is that they have a robotic saw? Drill?
I don't know. That's part of the problem.
A sea drill. We're calling it a sea drill.
Sea drill.
That, from a mechanical standpoint, seems to be propulsed. That's not a word, is it?
Propelled?
Propulsed. Propelled via water streaming through it. Now,
I don't know because I've always checked out.
It is dry. I don't understand how this thing is being moved.
Exactly.
It's
so dumb.
I also don't understand Carver's desire not to get out of the way. He's staring at it for a good 2.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Just screaming
instead
of moving.
I should have this lower on my list.
It should be lower on everybody's list. But the more I talk about it, the more I enjoy it. And James Bond's line, "Give the people what they want, Elliot."
What does that even mean?
I don't know. But he dies from a sea drill. Which is of his own design and his own comeuppance.
Well, okay.
Hoisted by his own petard. That is a signature James Bond thumbs up death.
All right.
I love Tomorrow Never Dies more than any James Bond fan on the planet.
It's not your number one movie.
I know.
There's people out there. No. There are some real misguided.
There's no one out
like,
there.
Like, just see-through skinned looking people that live in their basement. There's someone out there that's their favorite movie.
Disagree. Can't be.
If it's your favorite movie, tweet at Matt Myra. This is my favorite movie. Hashtag, I've never seen the sun.
Hashtag, no. The hashtag for Tomorrow Never Dies would be TND best. I'll look at that hashtag.
Hashtag cry for help.
So Tomorrow Never Dies is ranked where for both of us? Skewed to number 10. So in the bottom half. Now we're
No, because it's 19 total.
So we're getting towards the golden age. Speaking of which, Matt, what is your number 7?
Number 7 is Time to Talk. The World is Not Enough.
The world is not enough.
I never thought I'd see a Brosnan movie this high on my list.
Well, it's higher than mine. 14 for me.
I still haven't even mentioned Goldeneye yet. But this one's good because it's just a gunshot. But you really don't know at the end if he's going to shoot a woman until he does, you know? I like that. That's something we have not seen in a Bond film, and I think it's pretty good. And it's what number is Tomorrow? Is The World Is Not Enough? Like number
19.
19. So it took 19 Bond films, and you're left wondering, like, is this going to be a death or not? Because also, we've learned with Koskov, it doesn't necessarily have to happen.
Well,
I find
also,
it to be a good death.
What's interesting about this one, too, is that Judi Dench M witnesses this death.
Right. And doesn't even Electra King kind of go, like, you won't shoot me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. You love me too much.
It was sort of like, I don't know, was it Bond saying like, here? It's like that kind of a little bit of that backwards 90s feminism where it's creeping out, but it's also like, well, if you're not going to cook anymore, you can die like a man. <You know? laughs> It's that kind of like misguided
equality, right? Something.
I don't know what it is.
I mean, you're supposed to feel this sort of exaggerated emotional connection between Bond and Elektra, or with Bond towards Elektra in this movie, where it's almost like it does become a sort of, it does become a heavy sort of Bond falling head over heels for her.
More so than warranted, you
more
mean?
So, not only more so than warranted, but more so than a lot of the previous films. Like, Bond doesn't really fall for women.
Well, I'll point you to the film right before it, where he falls for Paris again.
I don't think that's a fall for. I really think that's more of a, let's try to recapture the lost magic. And it doesn't work. And I think they both know that.
Okay.
And it does have Pierce Brosnan's patented, I'm going to hover over a dead woman on a bed.
Trademarked.
Before I get to the rest of business.
Let's get it. We're going to do a t-shirt with Brosnan standing over a bed of just 12 dead women. The worst just, t-shirt ever made.
He can't leave the room. He's so emotionally connected to all of them.
The worst.
Yet responsible for each of their deaths.
All right. That was my number
the
seven.
The world is not enough.
Was that your number seven?
No, my number seven was Tomorrow Never Dies, which you talked about. Then okay. We talked about The World Is Not Enough. And now we're going to talk about Goldfinger.
That's your number six.
That is my number six.
So why so high?
I really enjoy him getting sucked out of a plane.
You don't find it too silly for even that movie?
Oh, it's so silly. And I think that's why it's ranked so highly for me.
So what problem do you... Why do you have such a problem with Live and Let Die? Have you not mentioned that yet?
I have not mentioned that.
Okay,
you have such a problem with it.
That's right.
I'm consistent.
I forget a lot of things.
I really... Okay, I like the writing of it. I like the foreshadowing of it. Bond setting it up, saying, if you shoot me with that, you'll tear through the fuselage and the pressure will suck us out. So it's like, hey, audience, now you know
maybe
it's
the execution that's just not good for me. Because it that,
is the execution that he's in a general's uniform and has a gold revolver?
Not only that, but the size of the window and the size of the man and the cutting away. If I recall, I think this is actually the death in the novel, I'm not mistaken.
The Gert Frobe of it all.
Actually, keep talking because that's on this list too.
Okay, well, what I really like about this particular death...
No, he's strangled to death by Bond after hijacking an airplane. Whoa.
Well, I mean, there's an airplane hijacking.
We should take a second to list some of these... I've forgotten some of these deaths in the novels. So finish your thoughts on Goldfinger.
I like it. I just like it. Because you think he's dead, you forget about him. You sort of forget about the character. You're like, oh, he and Pussy are happily enjoying this.
Oh,
as a child, you didn't forgotten. Forget?
How can you forget? He's looming large.
He's a child. As a child, though, I'm just like, oh, well, they got out of this one. And then, oh, no, he's back. And then, oh, boy, he's sucked out of a window.
Yeah, it's just all a little too silly for me.
All right, fine.
And also the undercranking of the camera. That always kind of ruins it for me a little bit.
There's too much crank. There's too much undercranking, overcranking. And we're about to see the movie that is the worst at it. The speed ramping in Dying of the Day.
Oh, yeah. Let me just mention a couple notable deaths in the novels. All right. I'll just do a couple. And Dr. No, he's buried under a pile of guano.
Okay.
This is one death they still have not done in the movies that I'm surprised they've not used in the Hildebrand rarity. Milton Crest, the girl in that puts up like a puffering, like a spiked pufferfish down his throat and it inflates. I can't believe they haven't used that.
Poison.
Yeah, but not just poison, but like the barbs of it, I think.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Milton Crest. I mean, Milton Crest does have a pretty good death.
That's true. But I forgot also, Blofeld is killed. He's strangled to death by Bond. So is his wife. That's about it. Okay.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
You know what else is exciting, man?
What's that?
You're number six.
My number six. It's time to talk GoldenEye.
All right. What do you like so much about it? You've ranked it higher than me. It's time for you to defend your GoldenEye.
Well, I think this is the most overkill of any death, maybe.
So this is the Han Solo of...
Yeah.
Of the James Bond franchise.
It's not just that he's essentially killed two different ways. Mm-hmm. First, he's pretty much beaten. Then he's dropped on purpose, right? Right?
I don't think so. Oh, no, it is. It is. Yeah, it is.
So he falls and he's not... You think he's dead. He's not dead.
No, he's not dead. We cut to a Sean Bean with hilariously broken legs.
Not only is he then impaled by the falling, like, array thing or whatever.
The antenna,
but he wakes up enough to experience it.
Yeah.
And it is, like, beat by beat, very comical. Maybe a little too much even for this movie, but I do enjoy it. If you're going to go that way, I think it's done pretty well, and it's pretty good just desserts.
Yeah. I can never get over the being still alive after that fall.
Yeah, it definitely has that Naked Gun feel. Remember,
yes.
Doesn't some villain just get repeatedly killed?
Ricardo Montalban?
Yeah. And I feel like they're related in some way, but...
Yeah.
So you had this pretty low.
Well, it's in the middle for me. As far as, you know, actually it was number 9. It's not that low. And I do like the scale of it. And that bumps it way up for me. The scale of the death.
Yeah.
The personalness with which the death occurs.
And it's one of the, he could save him, but he doesn't.
Mm.
That's interesting to me. I like it when there's an emotional moment, not just a spectacle.
I like a Bond choosing to kill people.
I do too, yeah.
I like the thought process.
Yeah, a lot has been made of that Roger Moore moment with the car, including by Roger Moore.
Oh, Roger. Late, great Sir Roger Moore.
We still have not talked about those four films I mentioned.
That's true.
That's telling.
This seems like we're going to be talking a lot here.
Yeah.
So, number 5
mm-hmm.
for me
is
View to a Kill. Surprising, I know.
Number 5 for me, another previously unmentioned, Moonraker.
Okay, so number 4 for me, Quantum of Solace.
Number 4 for me, Quantum of Solace.
Is this the only one that is lined up?
No, I think we had one more, maybe Spy Who Loved Me.
Mm.
This one is just so outside the realm of Bond deaths that I love it.
This one feels so much to me like how I imagine the literary James Bond would do things.
That's true, yeah. It's also indicative of this movie in that it doesn't show you...
It's unfinished.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to watching this film again.
Yeah.
I love this death. I love you see the realization on Green's face. And that even though he hands him motor oil, which apparently in the rest of the world is packaged like tennis balls are here, which threw me the first time I saw it. I'm like, why is he giving him tennis balls?
Cans of oil were odd to you?
Well, but here they don't come in long, thin tubes with yellow plastic like Pringles cans.
Yeah.
He's either throwing them Pringles or tennis balls.
Both of which are going to be deadly in the desert.
Pringles will get you a little farther than oil.
Oh, I disagree. You ever eat a Pringle? You're so thirsty. Dehydrated. You're even thirstier.
And you can't stop. Once you pop, you can't stop. But it is a gruesome, and it doesn't need to be seen. In fact, they don't even need to come back and confirm he was dead.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so brutal.
And it's a great death for someone like that who's just kind of like weaselly and ruthless. It's a very fitting death.
The two gunshots in the to the head thing is always baffling to me. Not baffling.
Yeah,
because
it implies they found him alive still. He had already drunk the motor oil.
Correct.
But that's the thing. Is giving him motor oil means he knows he's going to drink it because he's going to be so, so thirsty that he'll drink something that it would be better off if he didn't even drink it.
Is that true?
Yes.
If you're a doctor, tell us, should I drink motor
oil or
drink nothing?
There's no way it would be. It, of course, I mean, you would immediately retch, I would think, and then get more dehydrated.
That's true.
There's no way motor oil could be good for you.
Yeah. Plus, Dominic Green, I think, is such a great villain.
Yeah.
Who's the best villain of the Daniel Craig era?
Well, I'd put it between...
We've not ranked the villains.
No, let's save it then, because we'll do a villain ranking.
I like how we're ranking their deaths before we're ranking them.
I know. Well, we also could do villain plans.
That's true. God, there are some terrible plans. All right, so Matt Gourley and I, we agree on Quantum of Solace.
Mm-hmm.
Number three for me, License to Kill.
Number three for me, License to Kill.
Amazing. Here we go. What do I like about this one? What don't I like about this one?
This one's just savage. He's a savage villain. He's cutting people's hearts out, and it's a good fitting. I think the more fitting the death, the more exciting it is.
Yeah, it's also personal. So personal in this case. Perhaps only, you know, differently personal than Electric King, but also very personal to Bond. And I think that the way that it all goes down, you're having a chase, oil tankers, they're full of gas that is also cocaine, hoisted by his own petard here.
Yeah.
For sure.
Killed by the lighter that was given to him by Felix.
Killed by the Felix lighter.
Yeah.
But not the movie in which he says a genuine Felix lighter.
Right.
That happens in... Doesn't that happen in Live and Let Die? When does he say that? Lover's not expert.
Yes, it is when he's in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same Felix.
Yeah.
Whoa.
David Hedison.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. And, you know, he's just the moment of recognition on Dobby's face when he sees that lighter.
Yeah.
And realizes, boy, if I wasn't so hell-bent on revenge against cops.
Also, there are people, stuntmen burned in movies, and they are in a suit, and it kind of flames up. But he goes up like an inferno, and right away.
And appropriately so.
Yeah.
Because there is gas leaking all over him.
Yeah.
So it logically makes sense. Boy. I'm still on the lookout for that lighter, by the way.
That'd be nice to have.
They don't make DuPont stop making the lighter with the plain side that you could engrave.
Oh.
It's like an etched side now. They make that model still. Sorry, Dunhill. And I've been looking for it. I have my eyes open for it. So I'm hoping to find two so we can both have one.
Keep us posted.
I will.
I would love that.
I will.
Okay.
You'd want it engraved exactly the same, right? Yeah, of course. Okay. But yeah, it's a fitting end for a fitting revenge movie.
That's right.
Which is what that movie is. It's a revenge movie. So, Matt, number two for me.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about it. Live and Let Die.
Boo-doo-doo-boo.
Listen. Spawned a t-shirt. It's something that is perhaps the most ridiculous death. Well, it is the most ridiculous death. You're not going to find any argument here
on
that.
At least I have that.
But, boy, just to float into the sky and blow into pieces from a shark tower, a shark gun, a shark bullet.
There's so many things I think
so wacky
out of sync with this. Just, I don't know. Kananga, I feel like, is a relatively serious villain. He's a real heavy, you know? And so, like, to literally have the opposite physically of that, where he becomes lighter than air.
His comeuppance.
Wait a minute. So is there also helium in this thing, or has he already sprung a leak and is doing a float to the ceiling? So there's enough helium packed in that thing, or is it compressed air, which still wouldn't make
I don't think it's compressed air. I always thought it was helium.
There's not enough helium. It takes...
You don't know.
Think of how much helium it takes to make a balloon go up.
You don't know what Q Branch has up there.
No way.
You don't know if Q Branch has some chemical compound. There's so much off.
We haven't even gotten into that.
What if Q's chemical compound turns water, which the body is mostly water, right, into helium?
No way. No way.
I mean, I know it's impossible, but so is a rebreather.
Yeah, but at least that, I don't know, like, it doesn't confound the imagination. Like,
there's also only a finite amount of helium in the
I know. There's a shortage.
So, but seems odd.
But this wasn't that case.
This pellet would... What are you looking at?
Oh, sorry. I thought that was a squirrel in the hummingbird feeder.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
There's something going on.
Squirrel
there.
Shouldn't do that. That'd be crazy.
What is shaking that branch?
We got some hot outdoors action here at the Casa de Gorley.
Yeah.
It's just so ridiculous. It's great. Hey, I
do love it. Don't get me wrong. It's just
I also like when
bonkers.
A Bond villain dies at the hands of a Bond gadget.
How often does that happen?
Not that often.
Moonraker. License to Kill, does that count? Not a gadget as much.
I actually don't think it does.
Moonraker.
It's always the henchman. Because the, you know, story structure-wise, it's like always going to be like, how will Bond get out of this?
Yeah.
Because he usually uses his gadget on the henchman. So that's...
It's really just Moonraker and this one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, Matt, number one for you, what is it?
Wait, number one? Aren't we on number two?
You're number two.
My number two.
Was Live and Let Die? No, I'm sorry.
That was your number
That was
three.
My number two.
That was your number two?
Yeah.
Okay, my number two is Thunderball.
Boy, this is befuddling to me. It's why it's so high. It's not at the hands of Bond, as we all know. One of my prerequisite.
It's so well done, and I actually find it to be a compelling twist, and the emotional stakes of it are really interesting to me. I think it's executed well, no pun intended. I think it's what kind of what From Russia With Love was going for, but this one handles it really well. And I think it's more satisfying to have Domino get that kill than Bond. I like this ending a lot. It saves this movie a lot for me.
As we know, this movie's not a favorite of mine.
It's not a favorite of mine either,
And it does suffer for why I ranked it at number 15 out of 19.
Even though, but the ending alone, you don't like? You don't think the ending's better than that?
Well, it's just, it does fall into my whole, my personal requisite here is that Bond should do it.
Yeah, this is the one that I would take out of that category and feel like, because it's the exception to that rule, it works so much better. The one of them. It's the only one of those that really works for me, I think.
There's so much harpooning in this movie.
That's true, but...
I'm like... It is... My harpoon,
it's consistent with the
theme. My harpoon tolerance is already tested.
That's right, because what's his little henchman gets it with a harpoon, too. What's that guy's name?
Hit with harpoons.
Vargas.
I'll tell you, though, what I do like about a harpoon death is that you, unlike a bullet, you get to watch the harpoon travel.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't move fast
enough. Just check out Friday the 13th, part 3.
Whee!
In 3D. It comes at you.
Boy. The craze of 3D.
Yeah.
I miss it.
If you had to put one Bond movie in 3D, what would it be? Probably Moonraker. Or Live and Let Die, maybe.
You know what? It might be Quantum of Solace.
What?
I think that is visually a great movie. I think the visuals of it, but mostly it's just so I can have that car chase in 3D.
Yeah, I love that car chase. Somebody out there put that in 3D.
Have they done a Fast and Furious in 3D?
I don't know. I've never seen one of those movies. Yeah. As we know, as we pitched on our podcast where we watch all of them nonstop and then end up in the theater and we can't eat or something. What was it?
We're just going to get more furious as we go through them.
We fast while we watch them and get more furious because that's right. Yeah. All right. Number two.
Okay. Number two.
That was your number two.
For me, it was Live and Let Die.
Okay. My number two is Thunderball.
For you is Thunderball.
So all we have left are Moonraker and A View to a Kill. So what's your number one?
I think you know the answer to that. It's Moonraker. Now, you're asking yourself, Matt, why would you rank that so highly?
Well, I ranked it pretty highly, too.
It's my job to answer you, though.
Okay.
Here's the deal. Not only does he get killed by a Bond gadget,
but he gets
sucked into space. He gets sent into outer space. What better way to be killed is there than being sent into outer space?
He also has a great line right before it happens, right? You have a nasty habit of not dying or something like that. Or
yeah.
He has some good lines in that movie.
I really enjoy Drax as a character.
I do too.
I enjoy the campiness of the movie, and I think that the campiness of the movie is just like, it's like when you put Parmesan, shred some fresh Parmesan on a good pasta. You're like, that's exactly what this needed.
Well, because he's so dry and he plays it really straight.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie is so big around him.
Moonraker has some of my favorite moments in Bond movies.
The pigeon double take.
The pigeon double take, of course. You know, the pheasant hunting scene. The museum fight, and it's Bernard Lee's last film.
Yeah.
And what I do like about this death is how crazy it is. It's the culmination of a movie where the U.S. Army has lasers in space.
They have a whole space mission force.
A space battalion.
Space Marines.
Space Marines with lasers. Well, of course you're going to have someone jettisoned into outer space, so Hugo also, Drax, you go down, and I enjoy it.
Whatever effect they use to launch Hugo Drax into space also feels like Michael Lonsdale himself is being put out. Like, it feels like it's undignified for him.
Yeah.
And so it somehow reads very satisfyingly because you feel like even the actor like playing a, him like is
a,
like being
like a fetus.
Put out.
He almost looks like an infant.
Yeah.
He's like very stiff.
Well, when he turns to the model, Yeah. Because he's probably in some harness or something. All right, that brings us to my number one,
and that makes my number five, which is now our number one because whoever goes last.
But it isn't really. Someone will rank the spread.
Oh.
And send us that, please. We really need to keep a database of these things, like a website that would have all of these.
Hmm.
People do such a good job of figuring out the actual means of these things or whatever it is. But mine is, of course, A View to a Kill. I think it's the most wonderful death in all of the Bond films. And a reason why many people should like this film more than they do.
It's ranked very highly for me. It's number five. It's in the top five of 19 movies. So that tells you something.
I think it's the cherry on top of this death is the laugh that Christopher Walken gives as he's about to die. Like, I'll be damned. You got me. How about that? The irony of this all. And the fact that just... Are there any good falls? Like, what other villains fall to their death other than...
Alec Trevelyan.
Yeah. But this one is so much more... You can imagine it more. It feels scary. You watch him slowly slide, too, where you, like, you see him realizing he can't stay gripped.
And you feel for him?
A little bit.
The man who tried to set off an earthquake.
But you still... I don't know. This has the effect...
The man who stands there with a machine gun, with an Uzi, and...
I know. I'm not saying I want to save him.
Mowing down workers.
You just are able to put yourself in his shoes because you've probably imagined yourself falling sometime before.
I mean, who doesn't imagine themselves falling off the...
It's an effective death. It's a good one for this villain. And he somehow... He's not even above seeing how fitting his own death is with a laugh. I love that moment.
I think that it's such an iconic landmark
to be on. Yeah, that's another thing,
you know, perhaps the most iconic landmark west of the Mississippi is the Golden Gate Bridge. Not counting, of course, natural,
yeah,
like Grand Canyon or the Tetons or the
right,
or the Golden Arches, or rather arches, not the Golden Arches, the Golden Arches. But I think because of that, you're immediately drawn into the scale of the fight and the scale of the death, and you know. It gets a little bit of a bump up for me after he falls, because we're then privy to the dynamite cabinet that the professor, the mad German Nazi scientist, starts waving fucking dynamite.
I know.
Lord.
That's a good one.
It is a good death.
Yeah.
It is a good death. That death, actually, describing that death brought me more joy than Moonraker.
Yeah. Let's recap these here. So your top five survival / escapes from worst to first are Koskov and Live and Let Die, Blofeld and Spectre, Blofeld and Diamonds Are Forever, Blofeld and You Only Live Twice, and Blofeld and On Her Majesty's Secret Service. And the best villain deaths, according to us, from 19 to 1... are Kamal Khan in Octopussy, Christados in For Your Eyes Only, Gustav Graves in Die Another Day, Le Chief in Casino Royale, Silva in Skyfall, Dr. No in Dr. No, Stromberg in Spy Who Loves Me, Scaramanga in Man with a Golden Gun, Rosa Klebb in From Russia with Love, Elliot Carver in Tomorrow Never Dies, Electra King in The World Is Not Enough, Goldfinger in Goldfinger, Alec in GoldenEye, Green in Quantum of Solace, Sanchez in License to Kill, Kananga in Live and Let Die, Largo in Thunderball, Drax in Moonraker, and Zorin in A View to a Kill. And there you have it.
Wow.
Any closing thoughts, Matt?
Very fun list to make.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Really fun to sort of go through these moments.
I wish we had it to do all over again.
You know what? There's plenty more rankings. Yeah. When we get down to it, whenever we do a ranking, we think of another ranking we should do.
That's right. And we haven't forgotten our Indiana Jonesing. That will come periodically throughout the run. Yep. We're also going to start getting into some of these offshoot movies, because Matt's schedule was such that we had to record late at night, but now we're a little freer and we can fit some movies in. Maybe hopefully next time we'll start with one.
Got some weekends now.
That's right.
I'm very excited about it, but I have to say, everybody, very exciting time, because James Bonding will return with Die Another Day.
And keep a lookout for ticket information on our live show December 7th at some UCB or another.
If you show up, it means we get to do more.
Maybe we'll be in our costumes. Bye, James Bonding.
It's a leisure suit.
It's a lifestyle. We'll return. James Bonding
Podcast. Earwolf is now on the Amazon Echo. They just released a new skill for the Echo smart speaker called Daily Earwolf. Now you can ask Alexa to play the funniest moments from your favorite Earwolf shows. Just download the Daily Earwolf skill from Amazon's Skill Store. And if you're a fan of Hello from the Magic Tavern,
and who isn't,
you can also download Magic Tavern Adventure.
That sounds wonderful.
It's a special interactive episode we did of Hello from the Magic Tavern where you can affect the choices we make in the podcast.
I don't think anyone can affect my choices.
I want to interactive.
No, Chunt, interact. It just means that.
Yeah, I want to interactive. Where's the door?
So if you're listening to this right now and you want to say, Chunt, I wish you were not having this misunderstanding, you could yell that at your Amazon Echo and it would happen.
Finally, you, dear listener, can help us choose our own adventure.
Download these awesome new skills, and remember, you can play any Earwolf podcast right from your Echo.
New skills, time to level up.
New skills, time to level up. Level up. I'm bad at being an Echo.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the Improv Fantasy Podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.